attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your heart. May the Lord bless to our hearts the reading from His holy word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of Herod. After his birth, wise men, magi, astrologers from the east arrived in Jerusalem, asking, "Where is this newborn king? We observe the rising star. We have come to pay him homage." Well, thanks to the various forms of media, most Christians today have this sequence of events well in mind. There was the cattle cave, and the shepherds, and the star, and the birth, and the wise men, and the gifts of gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. But in fact, technically, it won't be until Tuesday that they get here. Epiphany was identified in 567 at the Council of Tours. 12 days link Christmas and Epiphany, and thus the 12 days of Christmas. And we won't say that, but it's gone. In a recent survey, it was noted that we are losing youth to our church, also members, through the influence of the culture. And the fact that we don't teach the facts of faith, leaving it to agnostics and atheists to plant the seeds of doubt or whatever. So today, Newsweek magazine's January issue touts the marginal scholarship of a former Christian, actually a graduate of Princeton. He touted scholar Mark Berman of the University of North Carolina, joined with religious studies professor Jason David DeBoone of Northern Arizona University. And they wrote this article with a cover. And the cover says very clearly that the Bible, its misunderstanding is almost a sin. He begins, Kurt Eichenwald, who was a former editor, writer of finance, now obviously an expert on Christian Bible. He exhibits an all-out attack on evangelical Christianity, mainstream biblical scholarship. Well, evangelicals are God's frauds who pick and choose which verses they need, who are fundamentalists, twist and modify translations to prove they honor God's word. So while pretending to be an exploration of Bible history and meaning, quote, designed to shed light on a book abused by people who claim to revere it but have never read it, it simply follows popular culture's attack on our Christian faith. For them, there is no miraculous birth, no Son of God, no three kings, no word of God. But wait a minute. For the faithful, scholarship has uncovered much evidence corroborating that book. Ernest Martin, in his book, The Star That Astonished the World, for instance, asserts Rome marked the 25th anniversary of Augustus' rule and the 750th anniversary of the founding of Rome. So he planned huge celebrations. Not quite as good as the one we'll have for Dave, but you know. The empire was then at peace, and he sent out this decree. Everyone should get enrolled in order that they can all name him emperor. Some people have that thought. Another scholar, Craig Chester, sought evidence from the field of astronomy. He's co-founder of the Monterey Institute for Research in Astronomy, and he asked, could the Star of Bethlehem actually have stopped over Jerusalem? His answer, yes. This gets a little harder. In September of 3 BC, Jupiter came into conjunction with Regulus, the star of kingship, the brightest star in the constellation of Leo. Now, Leo was considered the constellation of the kings and associated, of course, with the Lion of Judah. The royal planet approached the royal star and a royal constellation representing Israel. And this conjunction was repeated not once, but twice. In June 2 BC, Jupiter and Venus, the two brightest objects in the sky, save sun and moon, experienced an even closer encounter. And to the naked eye appeared that they were one. And by September 11, 3 BC, there was this impressive series of planetary motion involving Mercury, Saturn, and astrologers could hardly have missed it. Jupiter performed a retrograde route on 2 BC on December 25th and stood over Bethlehem. Dr. Chester asserts, science is clear. History affirms. There was a great celestial dance that we call the Star of Bethlehem. The why, however, he leaves to faith. But through the ages, Christians have referred to Jesus as the morning star. Well, in our culture today, we name the stars. For instance, the top 10 Yahoo searches for 2014, Ariana Grande, I think that's how you pronounce it, Jennifer Lawrence, Kim Kardashian, I know you pronounce that, Miley Cyrus, Jennifer Aniston, and Frozen. But my friends, there is the rest of the story. In the Bible, illuminated by God's Holy Spirit, we discover the power of God. The eternal God will be thy refuge, and ever he shall be the everlasting arms. He shall receive power. He shall faint, be weary. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. King Hezekiah, ill to the point of death, prayed to the Lord, and Isaiah the prophet told him, the Lord will do as he has promised. So Hezekiah sang, the Lord will save me. We will sing with stringed instruments in all the days of our lives in the temple of the Lord. So are you singing? You're supposed to be singing. In the face of whatever storms you may face in life, what is your song? Christ is the morning star. By the way, it is a song, Marshall. When the night of this world is past, Christ brings to his saints the promise of light. Christ opens everlasting day. Christ is the temple of God, and we are made into that temple by his Holy Spirit dwelling in us. That's our song. My friends, the world needs this church. Wounded souls can rest. Troubled spirits can pray. The world needs this church. We meet God on holy ground. The world needs this church. The broken and bleeding bodies can touch the hem of his garment. The world needs this church where God gets the glory. Love leads the worship. Peace prays the prayers. Mercy minds the music. Grace directs the choir. Faith lifts the offering. The Holy Spirit does the preaching. For this will not be a church unless Almighty God himself is present. Unless the awesome power of this universe is unleashed as the still small voice. For without God, the church is simply a building to be seen with no story to be told. Without God, the church is simply an outrageous testimony to absurdity. Without God, the church is simply a monument to sounding brass and tinkling bells. Oh, we may pray, but there'll be no power if God is not here. The organ may play, but there'll be no sweetness if God is not here. The robed choir may sing, but the music will not saturate the soul if God is not here. A sermon may be preached, but souls will not be saved. Sinners will not be converted. The lost will not be healed. The deaf will not hear. The sick not healed if God is not here. My friends, as an ambassador for Jesus Christ, I bring you great news, the good news of a great joy. The Lord God, sovereign, omnipotent, redeemer, is here. God is on this holy ground in order that sin's sick souls may receive the balm of Gilead. The lonely forsaken may find that friend with all their sins and griefs to bear. New year to new year, age to age the same. Jesus Christ is the morning star. He is the Christ of power, of generosity, of promise. By whom we escape this world's corruption. Through whom we are made partners and sharers in eternal life. For he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge. Christ is the morning star to the glory of God. So sing of God's mercies, praise God's glorious works, proclaim God's glorious name. Dear friends, the table is set. Wait. His invitation comes. Come unto me, all you who are overburdened. I will